You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the Wishbone Podcast, brought to you in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we had quite the nail biter, quite the take your nerves out of your body and run them through a paint shaker experience last night in the game played in Oxford, Mississippi. We're 7-1. We survived potentially, depending on how things have changed shape seemingly every week this season, we survived potentially the biggest, most difficult obstacle in our path, a road game against a divisional foe with the best defense in the country. Help us all to put this game and the outcome of it into a little perspective before we dig into the specifics. And by the way, let me tell the listeners out there, this is going to be a streamlined edition. We're going to try to bring this sucker in under an hour for a variety of reasons tonight. So Coach Snyder will probably reappear next week. But we actually have a lot of good old solid football stuff to talk about, so we're going to take a page from one of the other Auburn podcasts and have less fluff tonight.
There you go.
But more hard-hitting football, like some hard-hitting football we saw in that game. So kind of put this game in perspective. What should we sort of take from it, and how should we feel right now?
Well, I mean, we'll separate the ending and the Treadwell's injury out and talk about that in a minute. In the big picture, in terms of how Auburn should feel about the game, Auburn fans should feel great. Yeah. I mean, it was a huge game on the road against a team that was, you know, fourth in the initial playoff rankings, a team with the best defense in the country, and a team that had basically shut down everybody else that played. And Auburn went in there, and the Auburn offense, you know, played great. The defense made a lot of mistakes, but they made plays when it counted. And, you know, the team did enough to win against a really, really good Ole Miss team in their stadium. And, I mean, did Auburn play a clean, error-free game? Not even close. Mm. There was a lot of mistakes, penalties, missed assignments, that kind of thing. But to be able to go on the road into that environment against that team and make that level of mistakes and still win, I think shows how good Auburn really is. And the other thing you said that's really important is this, that, you know, we've been saying, when will the 2013 offense kind of come back? Mm-hmm. And I think the last two games we've seen the Auburn offense really emerge as this unstoppable force again. I mean, that was it, kids. That was the best defense in the country. I've seen every other good college football team play. There isn't anybody better out there. Mm-hmm. And Auburn had, 35 points and 500 yards offense. So there's nobody out there the Auburn's going to do worse than that against it, unless we have a really bad day or it's bad weather conditions or something. So.
Well, that's a good point you made right there that I want to hit on just for a second and amplify is, as you said, this is the offense at its almost as good as we can reasonably expect it to be right now. We've said over and over, you know, the last few weeks that Trey Mason didn't walk in through that door, that the offensive linemen that we lost either to the pros or to injury are not walking through that door, et cetera.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
But I think that what we're seeing is this year's offense playing at a high level with the understanding that this year's offense is not last year's offense. No matter what they do, this offense is not suddenly going to look like last year's offense. It's just not going to. Some of the pieces are the same. Some are different. Some are new. You know, some are backups that had to step forward. And so it's just not the same animal, and it's not going to it's not going to look the same, but it can be just as effective in different ways, right?
Sure.
So,
and that, again, this was in going into that environment on a Saturday night against that team, you know, that defense and that offensive stuff, there's not a lot of teams in America that could have done what Auburn did last night. I mean, it was a really, really difficult thing to do. And it really was a kind of a heavyweight fight thing where both teams went back and forth and back and forth. And Auburn, you know, showed a great amount of resiliency and mental toughness to overcome the errors and the mistakes and Ole Miss big plays to make the plays down, you know, down the stretch to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I like too that you said that we should, that Auburn fans should be really happy, because there's one thing that's been, well, I have a whole list. I have a whole list of things that have been bothering me today, and those of you that join us on Twitter daily or semi-daily know that I was really railing about this somewhat last night, and even more so early this morning on Sunday morning, that there's just a whole lot of Auburn fans. And then I add too, you know, I enjoy some of the other shows, most of the other shows on our network, on the War Eagle Sports Radio crowd. We've got some, you know, good talent, good Auburn people out there. A strange mix of non-Auburn people, but that's for another story for another day. I've just been disturbed that even some of them seem to be expressing this sort of, and I guess this maybe can segue us into that first big sort of topic, which is, you know, specifically, which is that I've just seen way too many Auburn people down on the team. It's like they're almost sorry that we won. It's almost like they don't feel like we deserve to have won. It's like they feel like the whole team played badly. It's like they feel like the game was just given to us and we didn't seize it. And I don't understand that at all. I saw us go over there and fight toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with a very good football team for 60 solid minutes of football and make a huge play at the end. Collateral damage, which was incredibly serious, of course, notwithstanding, Chris Frost made a play in the same way that Chris Davis last year made a play. We earned, we the whole team put us in the position to be able to hold on for that win, and then Chris Frost made an individual play on that last Ole Miss play, you know, inside the five on the goal line to seal it. There was nothing that Auburn has to be embarrassed about, to feel sorry about for ourselves, to be down on. I mean, I know that our defense has serious issues, and we'll talk about that coming up next too. But overall, that Auburn team did what it had to do in every phase of the game to survive and to advance. And you should not be hanging your head right now, Auburn family. You should be chin up and looking forward to where this team is going next. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, two things. One is there's a very specific – I mean, I think part of your thing is related to people unhappy with how the defense played.
Yeah.
But the other part of it relates to the injury. And I think there's this kind of feeling that we didn't want to – I mean, first of all, Treadwell had a great game.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he absolutely killed us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was more dangerous when he didn't have the freaking ball.
I know it.
And so to see the kid get injured like that, mm-hmm. Making a great play for his team really was tough to watch.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, you know, they're carting him out of the stadium and the Ole Miss fans are chanting his name. You know, the official comes out and overturns the play. He couldn't have waited till the guy left the field.
I know.
That was so mean, I thought. Just let the cart clear the end zone first. But he didn't. They went ahead and said the ball was Auburn's ball. And I don't blame the Auburn fans for cheering at that point, because it was a huge turning point in the game.
Right. They weren't cheering his injury by
any means. No, I know. But it was a – Part of it is when the game ends like that, it was a terribly, you know, sad, upsetting thing to see. And that that taste isn't going to leave your mouth even when you're happy about the victory later. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
No. So I think part of the issue is when you think about the game and you think about the end of the game, you're always going to think about that kid getting hurt, and that's not a happy memory.
Right.
So I think it's just a little bit – it's like a gray cloud on top of it, on top of the, you know, the win that wouldn't otherwise – like if he had just fumbled the ball and then he was fine and walked away, mm-hmm. I think it would be a very different feeling about the end of that game.
Oh, I agree.
And the other part is I think what you touched on is I think there's a lot of fans that are upset because the defense has had two terrible weeks in a row.
Right.
And I think people are very concerned about that. And I think I tell those people, look, you know, you wanted it. You know, this Kansas State, the defense saved us and the offense was mediocre. And now we're the other way around. And, mm-hmm. you know, we got to live with it. So
it is amazing how Kansas State's offense and their passing game looks so good. And we totally shut it down. Well, we shut their running game completely down. We held their passing game under control. Yeah. And yet suddenly every quarterback we face looks like Aaron Murray in the fourth quarter last year.
That's right.
So I just don't know what to expect. But I guess to kind of round out that point and then we can get into the specifics.
Sure.
I just don't like seeing so many Auburn people. I think it's a little bit what you said about the injury. It's a little bit about the pass defense. But there's just this overall sort of zeitgeist that I keep picking up on. And it's even reflected in the national media a little bit. More about that later. Where it's just people seem like they almost wish we lost or something. And I just don't understand that at all. I really don't.
You're talking about Auburn people or outside Auburn
people? Auburn people. Yeah, there's others too, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I just feel like Auburn people need to pick themselves up and stop moping about the team, because I thought that was a very heroic performance despite its obvious weaknesses and flaws and gaps. Well, you know?
This is the thing. I mean, this is Auburn played one of the best teams in the country and had a gazillion penalty yards.
Yeah, 150 roughly.
You know, a gazillion penalty yards that all led to huge plays in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And had a bunch of missed assignments on defense and terrible tackling and mm-hmm. still went in there and beat a top five team.
Yeah, so. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So, all right. Well, let's walk through that ending. Now, it was 35 to 30. We can rewind, but, you know, at the ending, it was 35 to 31 Auburn.
Yes.
And it probably at that point should have been 45-35 Ole Miss. But things were not bouncing their way. Finally, we were getting some breaks. Everything was going against us up until that point, so it kind of mm-hmm. evened out at the end. Treadwell catches the ball, goes down the middle, and is going to score. And Chris Frost grabs him by the bottom of his back of his jersey and just makes a play. Again, injury aside, because nobody can dispute the horrific injury. Everybody hates it.
I don't think it was a horse collar tackle.
It wasn't remotely a horse collar tackle.
I know, but some people have said, "Oh, no. That must be why he was hurt."
No, you know what people have said, and this is what's been driving me crazy. I heard, in fact, I listened to some of the Ole Miss, our sister station for Ole Miss radio, and the guy on there was saying, almost horse collar like. You know, used a lot of qualifiers. And I'm thinking if it was almost a horse collar, if it was like a horse collar, that means it wasn't a horse collar. And if it wasn't a horse collar, why are you throwing around the word horse collar?
Well, I mean,
because you know, for Ole Miss, it was almost a win. Yeah. It was like a win, but it wasn't a win because they lost.
Yeah.
So my point is, Chris Frost grabbed him by the jersey below the numbers. Mm-hmm. A horse collar has the word collar in it.
Mm-hmm.
Collar. And unless you're wearing your shirt around your waist, your collar is at your neck. The bottom of your numbers is right above your waist. Okay. So he grabbed him below the numbers and just pulled him because he's a big, strapping, powerful man, right? So the guy couldn't be stopped. So Chris Frost pulled him down. Let me pause and just say, Chris Frost is the living, beating heart of this defense, such as it is. If we had 11 Chris Frosts out there of various sizes and shapes, right, our defense would be unstoppable.
He has made a ton of plays the last 2 weeks.
He's
really come on.
But even beyond that, as a leader, he is vocal. He's articulate. He's charismatic. He is inspirational. He's the one that gathers them around a circle and preaches at them in the times that they need to be preached at. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, we always have had players that do the old lead by example quietly. And I think Nick Marshall is more that way, and he's successful with it. There's no criticism there.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see Nick running around slapping everybody, firing them up, yelling at them. Chris Frost is the kind of guy that you need at least one of on a team.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris pulls the guy down, and obviously between him and I think maybe it was Jonathan Jones, but I'm not sure, coming in, his leg gets mangled backwards, and probably the pain of that happening is what caused him to drop the ball. I don't think he would have dropped it otherwise if it wasn't excruciating pain.
I think they were hitting the ball too.
Okay.
That was the other part of it.
So he drops it. Now, we all think he scored. We're concerned about his health, but we're thinking, well, he scored and he's going to be taken off the field. That's terrible. No,
I'm thinking he scored. We got three touchdowns. We got three timeouts and a minute and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Minute and a half.
I'm trying to calculate how we're going to come back. Can we get down the field in 90 seconds? Is it going to look like the Mississippi State game last year, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
Then they start showing the replay, which is to show the injury. And everybody's looking at the injury and going, oh, God, oh, you know, Lord, don't look. And then everybody suddenly is like, hey, he fumbled. Hey, he fumbled before he crossed the line. You could almost feel the whole country kind of coming to this sudden shocking realization all together, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Like it was psychic.
Like they kept showing it, and then they were like, oh, wow, look at that.
I don't think he scored. I don't think – yeah. And then, of course, Auburn jumped on it, which it was Casanova.
McKenzie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then, like you say, he's lying there for a long time while they're reviewing it. They put him on the cart. They start to drive him off the field. He's already emotional because, my God, the man's lower leg has been mangled. Who wouldn't be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
George S. Patton would be in tears probably just from that. I can't imagine. I wouldn't want to think about it. And then salt in the wounds, they say, oh, and your touchdown, we're taking that away. And that probably means your team's going to lose the game. So you just did that. You just went through all that basically for nothing. Who could not feel for that poor guy at that point? And like you say, they didn't even wait till he got off the field to announce that. So,
well, and especially because he was, you know, out of any single Ole Miss player, probably the one most responsible for them being in the game at that point.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, that was the ending. The situation came to that state of affairs in large part because of the Auburn defense had one of its worst, I think, performances in the Malzahn era. What do you think is going on?
Good question. The simple answer is, I mean, they didn't do a good job. They missed assignments. They missed tackles. I think at certain, you know, early in the year, the secondary is playing well. Right now, the secondary is not playing well.
Right.
Holsey was really good. You know, remember when he first came in to replace Whitehead?
Mm-hmm.
He's been a complete non-factor the last two games, and they played Moncrief over him, who, you know, made a play here and there, but also he was real shaky at times. You know, Jonathan Ford has been pretty good against the run sometimes, but also really misses some guys. It takes bad angles. And
they took horrible angles. There was that one play where Treadwell went down the middle and two guys.
That was terrible. It was Whitehead and Ford. It was McKenzie and Ford who were on the opposite sides of him and came back. Both of them completely whiffed. So, and then there were other plays where we had, you know, five guys touch an Ole Miss player and couldn't bring him down. And I'm not talking about, you know, it wasn't like it was Bo Jackson or Herschel Walker running either. So that kind of tackling was terrible. And we've kind of gotten away from the stuff at the beginning of the year we were doing well on defense. I think And the other thing that happened in that game a lot was we were kind of like blitzing and rushing people up field like crazy. Mm-hmm. But then we lost containment. Wallace would get away. He would run around and either make a throw, or he'd run around the outside and get yardage. And
it was Matt Jones theater there for a second.
It was. It was again and again. We had people rushing at field, but we just couldn't get him.
Yeah.
We could, you know, and sometimes it frustrated me because we had guys up field and it looked like they didn't know what to do when they got there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they were near him, but they couldn't get their hands on him and get him down. So,
well, you know, people were saying on Twitter and everything, you know, I was complaining that the pass rush was annoying me still. People were like, we had the best pass rushing game of the year. I'm like, well, yeah, that doesn't say a lot, though. But the thing is, we were actually getting to him, and we sacked the crap out of him. And we had some good sacks on him. In fact, two in a row dropped him back about 20 yards. But, of course, you know, then on like third and 20, he hits a 30-yard pass. I mean, he kept bailing himself out. But the thing was, even when we were getting effective pass rush on him, he was still making incredible upside down, backwards, behind his back throws. And those receivers were making incredible behind their back, upside down, one-handed catches for first downs. Right. So even when we were getting pressure on him, it didn't seem to matter. It actually seemed to make them better.
Well, but the other part is, like, no matter how good your secondary is, they can't cover the guys forever. Yeah. They can only cover them for 4 or 5 seconds. At that point, somebody's going to be open at this level.
Yeah.
So you got to get to the quarterback before then. And if you don't, if we hadn't blitzed people, if we had stepped back and just let Wallace do his thing, he'd have carved us up even more and kept the ball away from our offense. Mm-hmm. And so Auburn was kind of rolling the dice all night, sending a lot of people trying to get to him, and it often failed, but at least it disrupted the play, it made him move around, it threw off the timing and stuff a little bit. But, I mean, you could see the last 2 weeks that we're having a real hard time covering receivers. You know, you could say Treadwell, a guy like that is a big physical guy. He's going to be a mismatch for anybody. Mm-hmm. Cornerback in this league just about. But, you know, some of the other guys the last couple of weeks, and you saw, I mean, Pharaoh Cooper killed us last week. He killed Tennessee yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's just really hot. But some of the other Ole Miss receivers, you know, LSU really shut them down, and they were tearing us apart. Ingram and that other guy, Sanders, had a lot of big catches in the second half. And, you know, sometimes, like you're saying, they weren't very much open, but Wallace threw the ball in a good spot. And other times, you know, the Auburn defender made a didn't do a good job. And there were we're going to come back to the penalties, but the biggest thing was, to me, the tackling.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what Wallace does. It doesn't matter what the receivers do. If when the guy gets the ball, you tackle him. And there's a lot of plays in that game where Ole Miss players had yards after we touched them. And that was one of the things.
Then 15 more after that often.
That's right. Well, we're going to get to the penalty thing. I know. To me, the biggest thing was just, you know, how many yards they got after Auburn guys got their hands on them.
Yeah.
And some of that, you know, we don't have a lot of time. We don't have an off week or anything, but they got to get it together on defense. Some of it is just a confidence thing. The defense has to improve if we're going to be able to do what we need to do this season. So,
well, meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, the offense really seems to be rounding into shape. It's kind of weird how we can't seem to have both units at once. We either have the offense kind of sputtering and the defense looking great, or else the defense sputtering and the offense looking a lot better. But we had, I haven't heard the same calls I was hearing early in the year for Jeremy Johnson. I haven't heard that name mentioned in about 3 weeks.
Nick Marshall was so great last night in that game.
Yep.
I mean, he went into that stadium and made a ton of big plays. He keeps plays alive running around, and he makes positive plays on his own running the ball. And then throwing the ball, he was outstanding. I mean, he was so good in that game last night. And that was, again, that's the best defense in the country. They got a bunch of future NFL guys in that defense. And they got, you know, Pruitt led the SEC in interceptions last year, and Golson's been leading it this year. So they got guys that know what to do when you're throwing the ball at them. And Nick Marshall was just excellent. And some of it, the receivers helped him. I mean, Coates and Williams.
Those catches.
Made great catches. But some of it was Marshall just ran away from people and then stepped back and threw it where they could go make a play.
Well, see, this is the thing. And by the way, then Marshall would go and sit down. And did you see that one extended shot after he made that incredible pass, touchdown, whatever?
Yeah.
And they show him sitting there on the sideline, and like Duke Williams is very animated and talking, and some of the other guys are talking. And some of them are talking to Nick, and Nick is just sitting there like, it's all cool, baby. It's all good. He's so calm. He's like Jaws, right? He's circling around. The little fin is up. He's just circling the water, waiting to get back in there and chomp on some more of those land sharks again. This was Jaws versus a land shark. It was Jaws 1, land sharks 0.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, Ole Miss would complete passes. They complete short passes, and the receivers would make a lot of yards. And then Nick would come out there and just hit a 50-yard bomb, either for a touchdown or for way down the field. So it was almost like we were each getting long passing yardage, but Ole Miss was getting theirs after the catch, and we were getting ours from the catch.
That's right.
It was a strange thing.
And we said all offseason – we need Nick Marshall to be a better passer. And we said all the early games, wow, we want the passing game to be better. Where is it?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yep.
This is it. And I want to give you a couple of numbers.
We even had a Marcus Davis sighting. How about that?
We did. Came in and scored a touchdown on a good catch.
Yeah.
So I want to give you some numbers to just show like how good he was against this defense.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a couple of the other quarterback performances against Ole Miss in their stadium. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the quarterback rating. Louisiana Lafayette, it was 63.
Ooh.
Memphis, 57.
Ooh.
Alabama, 116. Mm. Tennessee, 85. Okay. Mm. Those were all in that stadium in Oxford. Okay. Nick Marshall last night, 186.
Holy cow.
Yeah. He was 15 for 22. So 68% completion.
Wow.
For 254 yards, 11.5 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Mm. Man, if he could – how can he put on a performance like that against that defense and then sort of struggle in some of the other games against much lesser – I don't understand it, but
mm. – I think he really rose to the occasion. He just played a great game. And some of it is, I think, again – Coates has been kind of banged up this year and up and down, and we finally had a game where Coates was healthy and he and Duke Williams just kind of made a bunch of plays.
How much, before we get to that, how much would you like another shot at Mississippi State right now?
Sure, I love it, but I we'll get to the discussion about I don't think it matters.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd love to have another shot at them.
I mean,
Arkansas should have beat him yesterday.
Oh, God, no kidding. Yeah, I got more to say about that. All right, so Cameron Artis Payne, Captain America, Captain Auburn, what is he doing differently the last couple of weeks that is resulting in this renaissance in his performance? He had over 100 and something yards. I don't have the box score open right now against that defense. I mean, he was getting stuffed at the line by Louisiana Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting almost 150 yards against Ole Miss.
Some of it is not him. I mean, some of it is that was the best game our offensive lines played all year.
Yeah.
And we both noted last week how the receiver blocking had gotten a lot better. And so I think it's those two things are a big part of it, where our offensive line had been shuffling around and they got settled down and the receiver blocking was still pretty good last night. It wasn't as good as it was last week, but it was still pretty good when we were running the ball. And I think part of it is Cameron Payne's being a little more decisive about deciding what to do. And he's using his eyes better. He's seeing where the opening is. I think there were times earlier this year where if the plays that go to this hole, he was going there no matter what,
mm-hmm.
whether the hole was there or not. And now I think what you saw last night was there were several runs where the run was designed to go inside or right off tackle, and there was nothing there. So he just kept going around the corner and got a field that got 10, 11 yards for Auburn. So I think some of it is just him having confidence and using his eyes. And, but the other thing is he's just steady. You know, I think he's not a home run 50 yards at a pop kind of guy, but steady. And I think last night he started to really feel it, and he was dragging some guys with him a little bit. I think he was really starting to get into it. And I wish, you know, he had 27 carries. The part of me wishes we'd given him the ball a little more.
Well, yeah, you know, I'd like to know what his longest run of the season is, because his longest, he had 143 yards, but his longest run was 20 yards. Now, that was the longest rush that we had from anybody. But he just never gets gains of more than about 20 yards.
Yep.
He just doesn't. By the way, talking about the running backs, Corey Grant got 26 yards on 4 carries. That was kind of good to see. He almost had an awesome play if Nick hadn't thrown one of the worst passes of the night into the dirt on that on that third and short, which, gosh, I was wishing that Nick would have just kept it and run. He could have gotten the first down.
We shouldn't even call the passing play.
No, that's one of those, again, that's Gus and Rhett getting cute. That's what they do. We all know we know they're prone to do that at times. But
we need to say this, though. It was a little too much. I mean, we just talked about how great Marshall was.
Yeah.
A little bit too much passing last night, especially in the second half, once Cameron Artis Payne then got rolling. Mm-hmm. And I think we would have run more, but Rock Thomas was hurt.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to put Peyton Barber or whoever in the game.
That's apparently the truth.
They weren't going to run the same plays with Grant. So it was like, well, Cameron, like there was one series where Cameron Artis Payne had a good run at first down, but lost his shoe and came out, and then we threw the ball twice.
Yep.
So, you know, I think if Cam had been in the game and been healthy, they'd have kept feeding him the ball. So there was some plays at different points of the game where we got a little cute, threw the ball a little too much. And I really feel like once we got rolled in the second half, I wish we'd have gone back to kind of Cro-Magnon 2013.
Yeah.
I really do. I felt there was a part where the offensive line was feeling it.
Yeah.
And when they start doing that, you got to just give it to them. I wish we had put, if Rock Thomas couldn't go, I wish we'd have, and Cameron Artis Payne needed a break, I wish we had put Peyton Barber in and kept running the ball straight at him.
And you know what we started doing that's been very effective that way is we will run. All right, here's the thing I think has been two adjustments that have been very effective this year. We started out this year trying to run Cap right into the middle and run Grant on the sweep, and neither one of those things was working at all. All that was working was Nick on the keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're letting Cap kind of bump it off tackle instead of behind the guard, and he's getting so many more yards kind of just bumping along the line and going off tackle, almost like a wishbone sweep, as opposed to just, you know, the dive. Trey used to could take the dive and turn it into a 12, 15-yard carry up the gut. Payne can't do that. Artis Payne can't do that. But bumping it along the line, scraping along the line, and then just turning that corner and having the tackle or the tight end out there block either in or out and open that hole on the edge. Mm-hmm. Cap was getting everything on the edge. And the other thing is, and so that was one adjustment. The other is, instead of sending Corey Grant on the speed sweep, usually it seems like to the left for some reason, instead we've been doing that little quick pass out to a receiver in kind of a bubble screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very effective. We were eating Ole Miss up when we were alternating between the quick bubble screen to Ricardo Lewis or somebody or Quan Bray, and then hitting Cap on the off tackle the other side on the edge.
Yeah. And there was one out there when we, you know, Lewis caught it and Duke Williams missed the block, and there was only one guy out there. Where if Duke Williams had made the block, Ricardo Lewis would have gotten 50 yards or whatever, but he missed it, and the guy tackled Lewis.
Yeah, not only that, that was just – yeah. I mean, at some point, you have to just say that was a great individual play by the defender.
Sure,
That guy totally got past Duke's block. Because let's just be honest, Duke isn't the greatest blocker ever.
No.
He could be. He's big and strong enough, but he just doesn't – he seems to kind of half-heartedly do it. At least he may be trying 100%, but he seemed to kind of flail to me. But yeah, that guy just got past Duke and blew up was it Ricardo?
Yeah.
Yeah, just blew him up. And you just had to tip your hat. You know, there's just nothing you can do at that point. So But yeah, I feel like they're figuring out the plays that this lineup can do as opposed to trying to do what worked last year.
I agree. I think, I mean, that's part of what we've always felt about Gus, that he figures out his player strengths and take mm-hmm. advantage of it. I think he and Red have figured out this team's strengths. They know what they can do well. So
yeah. What about special teams? I have a factoid of the week that involves our special teams, but what do we think?
No, I mean, we had a couple of penalties on special teams, and we'll get to those in a minute. But, you know, Bray had one return, kickoff returns, nothing special.
Punting was not great.
Punting was bad. It was bad. It's still an issue. I mean,
we had a 20-yard punt.
Yeah. I mean, on the road against a team that good, you can't have crappy punting. So I don't know. We miss Stephen Clark so much in that kind of game.
Yeah, you really.
He was such a huge advantage.
Appreciate it. Yeah, they don't show the short punt, but we did average. We had 7 punts and averaged right around 38-39 yards. But we had a long of 52, and that 20 kind of brought that average down.
mm-hmm. Not a good night for them.
No, I don't know what's going on with that. Penalties. We had penalties I never even heard of, it seems like. Like they were making stuff up at one point. But we had at least 2 of the old Spurrier Florida penalties, which is the knocking the guy into the bench after he goes out of bounds. Now, I have to say, at least a couple of those were really bang bang. The slow motion replay makes it look more egregious, but none of them were like trying to kill the guy. It seemed to me they were dumb mistakes.
Yes.
But the guy was trying to tight walk down the sideline a couple of times.
Well, but here's what you do then. You run up at him or whatever. What you don't, I mean, there was a couple of plays where we hit the guy way out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's you just run at him and then ease him out of bounds. You don't deck him when he's got a foot out of bounds, whatever. We did that 3 or 4 times in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to differentiate is the penalties that were kind of a guy's, you know, the other guy on the other team makes a good play. There's nothing you could do about it. That's just kind of that thing versus the stupid penalties. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's run down the list real quick. Okay. First, Ole Miss series of the game, personal foul on Jonathan Jones for that kind of stuff leads to a touchdown for Ole Miss. We get the ball back, holding on Danzy. This was Kandichi blew by him or whatever. He had holding. There's not a lot he could do about it. But then delay a game on the punt, okay?
Yeah.
But delay a game on offense. On this one was the delay game on offense mm-hmm. led to a punt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Next series, holding on Ozama.
Mm-hmm.
We get in a hole, have to throw it on 3rd and long, leads to the interception.
Yeah.
Okay? The hole directly we had a good run on that play, led directly to the 3rd and long, had to throw, got the interception. Okay? We get the ball back.
John, there is no penalty in football that is more destructive to Gus Malzahn's offense than the hold.
Yep. Okay, a couple more. The long Bo Wallace run, face mask, okay? Stupid. Just stupid, okay?
Yeah.
We stopped them twice. We had holding on punt returns, okay? Our offense had delay a game on when we sent out the punt unit late.
That was crazy.
That was ridiculous. There was the one pass interference on Mincy where he just kind of ran over the guy, and that wasn't terrible. And then we had a couple of those hit the guy out of bounds, one on Moncrief, one on somebody else. And that,
I still think that the punting delay of game, mm-hmm. I think that was a clock error because Gus was out really mad about that, trying to point out to the referees that they had started it too soon or something, or they hadn't signaled when they started it. Because he was, I mean, you know, Gus wasn't mad at the team. He was yelling at the referees. Did you notice that?
I hear you. But, I mean, again, that stuff is the coach has got to be decisive.
Yeah.
And, you know, get the guys out there and just
sure.
go.
Right.
And you got to be paying attention. So, the penalties were embarrassing. I thought it was Auburn. This is a very, very talented team, a very explosive, dangerous team that can win a lot of games, but they got to have better composure in road games. You know, we did not have I think I looked it up here. Hold on. Yeah, here at home, Auburn is averaging 5 penalties and 60 yards. And on the road, we're averaging 8.3 penalties and 82 yards.
Jeez, okay? Yeah.
So some of that is just a composure thing. We gotta be better. We got to keep it together better. We play road games. So
the last couple of things I want to say about this game, two things. One, there's been a lot of talk about the 12 men on the field that happened.
I saw that. I think it's just silly.
Oh, the Ole Miss people are melting down because they decided that's what lost in the game.
We got like 5 yards in that play.
I've told them on Twitter, I've said, look, if you don't want to lose the game, don't turn the ball over twice inside your 5 yard line, our 5 yard line in the fourth quarter. All right. Don't talk to me about that. So plus on the final play of the game, which was a much more consequential potential play than a random second quarter play, right? They threw 2 forward passes and there was no flag. If they had scored,
it wouldn't have counted. Sure.
It wouldn't have counted. There was no flag. Why wouldn't it have counted?
Because it was a penalty.
There was no penalty.
Then they weren't going to throw the flag because the play wasn't. If the play had accomplished something, I think they would have thrown the flag. They weren't going to throw the flag.
After the fact, thrown the flag?
Yes. I think it was like it was clear they were The clock was running out, and they were running around in circles, throwing the ball around. Nothing was going to happen. So the officials were just like, okay, let it go. But, I mean, to me, that was the exact same as the last week where people were fussing about Auburn having the 2 number ones on the field at the end of the game. Those 2 plays are exactly the same to me, where, you know, the officials screwed up. They should have called it. They didn't. But in the big picture, it doesn't matter because this team that was going to win the game won the game. And the 12 men on the field thing, it was one play. It wasn't like they let us have 12 men all night. And there were plenty of other penalties that weren't called on Ole Miss during the game.
That's for sure. My response has been this. Texas A&M has 12 men. They just keep theirs up in the stands. We actually found a more strategic way to deploy our 12th man. So take it for what it's worth.
But I mean, there were some real penalties that could have been called on Ole Miss that weren't.
Oh, of course.
So, you know.
All right. My other last thing is there's been a debate today. Is Auburn getting enough credit for this win? It's like going into this game, the whole media scenario was, oh, it's the game of the week, you know, big elimination game. Oh, this is huge, huge, huge game of the week. Everybody watch this game. Oh, the winner's going to move on and the loser's going to be eliminated. Elimination game and all that, except for Kevin Skarbinski, who on like Wednesday said, this is an elimination game. And on Friday says, don't let people tell you this is an elimination game. Okay, Kevin, Jekyll and Kevin, but they kept billing it that way. Then when Auburn wins the game, suddenly, well, you know, they didn't really win. And I don't, they started doing that Danny Cannell in his own bizarro universe where Ole Miss am our winning game. You know, I just don't understand how when we win the game, suddenly it's not, you know, it's no accomplishment by us. We got 500 and something yards against that offense. Nobody's talking about that in the media. They're only talking about how Auburn lucked into another win, which, by the way, we were told at the beginning of the year that we wouldn't win this kind of game because we wouldn't be able to luck our way into wins this year. Your response. Ridicule me. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
Yes. You don't care.
I don't. here's what I'm going to say about Danny Cannell and everybody else at ESPN talking about this game. There are birds flying off the coast of South America 50, 100 miles out, Arctic terns or something, and they're chirping to each other, and there's no people around for 100 miles, okay? Mm-hmm. And what those birds are saying to each other has as much consequence to Auburn football as whatever Danny Cannell or anybody ESPN is saying. And I care about it about the same.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter at all.
Well done.
So
All right. It still ticks me off, though. Can I not have my righteous indignation? Must you take that from me, too?
I think you want a lot of affirmation from the media after these games, whatever.
Yes,
and my thing is, Remember we had this conversation a couple weeks ago about enjoy the win? Just enjoy the win. We don't need them to tell
How
us.
How can I enjoy the win when Lou Holtz is sitting there saying, I don't have Auburn in my top six. I'd have Alabama number one, but I can't justify it. What does that even mean, Lou? I'd have Notre Dame in there, but I can't justify it. I mean, it's just nonsensical. It just makes me mad that week after week we win these games and we don't get a helmet sticker. We don't get a player of the week. We don't get anything. You wouldn't think we played the game. They build up the hype and get all the ratings when people watch it. And then when it's over, Auburn gets zero credit for actually participating and doing well. And I know that there are people out there that agree with me about this. I understand your position, and I don't disagree. I'm just saying it ticks me off, okay? I feel like those players and that team and we, the fans that support them, deserve a little crumb of recognition from the media empire that rides it to the bank.
That's fair.
So I mean, if you're out there and you agree, I want to hear about it this week. Give Auburn some love by way of Twitter on my account and send it on in and tell me that I'm right. And again, I'm not saying, John, that you're wrong. I totally think you're taking the wise and the learned approach. But I'm going to have it on my sleeve more, and it just makes me angry.
Sure. But I mean, again, I would say that you say people didn't pay attention. We went up in the polls.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens on Tuesday. I have a weird feeling that we won the game and are actually going to drop.
You're so silly.
Hey, see?
You ready to talk? You want to go? You want to talk about the playoffs first, or you want to talk about Texas A&M first?
Let's talk about Texas A&M. I want some happy news. At the beginning of the season, if you had told me that Auburn's pass defense would be crumbling and we would be going into playing Texas A&M, if you told me that the last two games we made the two quarterbacks for South Carolina and Ole Miss look like Johnny Manziel, I would be freaking out right now. As it turns out, I feel pretty good going into the Texas A&M game. Why is that, John? Why do I feel pretty good going into the Texas A&M game? Although, let me just put a little caveat. I do think they're going to throw for more yards than people think against us.
They may, but you know why I should feel good? Because they suck.
There you go.
I mean, they are – if they played Arkansas again tomorrow, Arkansas would beat them by two touchdowns. Good. So here's where they are. Number one, their defense is still terrible. It's in the bottom, you know, two or three in the SEC in every category, pretty much. And their offense is much worse. It's regressed over the course of the season. A week ago, they changed quarterbacks. They benched Kenny Hill and they went with Kyle Allen. And after they made that decision, supposedly, Kenny Hill got in trouble off the field, has been suspended two games. So he's not even available to come in off the bench. Mm-hmm. So they're basically starting this. I believe Allen's a true freshman in Auburn Saturday afternoon in the CBS game.
Against an Auburn defense that has something to prove.
Yes, and again, they played Louisiana Monroe last week, whose defense is like 100th in the – you know, who is not great.
And
they got – they had like 100 yards. I mean, they barely won the game.
They had 100 yards fewer than Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, they did. They had 100 yards less total offense, Louisiana Monroe. They should have lost the game, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, they don't have a lot of confidence right now on offense, and I think their defense is bad. I think Auburn's going to come out and jump on them with both feet and put up a bunch of points early, and they may throw some yards as the game goes along against our defense, especially if we get ahead by 20 points or something, but I wouldn't be shocked at all. My feeling is Auburn is going to jump on them with both feet, and unless we have a big hangover or something from this Ole Miss game, we ought to win like 56 to 14 or something.
Oh, here we go. See, now we're getting over into the territory of the shows before South Carolina that I was talking about.
Well, big difference. I have a lot more respect for South Carolina and Spurrier than what Texas doing.
Look, there's two possible ways this game goes. One is what you just said, and I hope fervently that's the case because it means that we'll see that guy that hadn't been mentioned in 3 weeks, Jeremy Johnson, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way this game could go could be another South Carolina.
Sure.
I mean, it could. I realize that the likelihood is not there. But if you looked at a 4-4 South Carolina that's playing right now, let Tennessee come back and beat them last night, then you realize teams seem to rise up and play on offense, especially very well against us lately. So, you know, it could be 55-14. It could also be 38-31.
Sure, it could be. I mean, they have excellent receivers and big receivers.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that really scares me. They have a good young defensive end who's got the freshman sack record for the SEC already, Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got a couple of decent running backs, but their receivers are big and athletic and dangerous. Those are the guys that really scare me against our secondary the way they're playing right now. So he may put up a bunch of yards of stuff, but I really don't think they can stop Auburn. And I think the other part is I think we still owe them. I mean, the last time they came into Jordan-Hare, you know, was this maybe the single worst game of a terrible 2012 season.
63-21, if I remember correctly.
And so they, you know, we owe them some payback in front of the home fans for that still.
That was the root canal visit to the dentist of that season. Remember, every game was a trip to the dentist. That was the one where they really did. They did some serious drilling in our back molars in that game.
And listen, you think we having fun doing this podcast. We did a podcast after that game. You go back and listen to that. That was a
Don't. We need to lose the tapes. We need
we need to keep those and say, like, look, we stuck with it. You know, when things were dark.
We were resilient. Resilient.
That's some macabre theater if you want to go back and listen to that stuff.
The theater of the absurd. Oh, my gosh. We really picked a heck of a year to start doing this show. It's a miracle we're still doing it. God, it was surprising we didn't just go, this sucks. We're not going to do this anymore. Any other thoughts about – I mean, there's really just not a whole lot to say about Texas A&M. It's pretty obvious what they are and what they are not. And let's just put it this way. If we can't beat them by double digits, then either we're just not trying this week or things aren't going to go good for us the rest of the season.
Think we – at home – and here's the other part. This Auburn team plays much better at home than on the road. I think we're going to be fine.
All right, you ready for Factoid of the Week?
Hit me.
Factoid of the Week.
Factoid of the Week.
Factoid of the Week, where'd I put it? I can't find my Factoid of the Week. Ah, here it is. In the last three games Auburn has played, we have scored 16 touchdowns for 112 points. Okay, 16 touchdowns, 112 points. During that same time, how many field goals have we kicked?
Four?
Two.
Wow.
Two for two. 16 touchdowns, two field goals. We have not attempted a field goal since the third quarter versus LSU. We have not missed a field goal since first half versus Mississippi State. Wow. If you keep cranking in touchdowns like we're doing the last few weeks, the kicker becomes an afterthought except for extra points.
It's true. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting stat, huh? Okay, there's your factoid. Let's see. Playoff talk?
I mean, the interesting thing everybody should watch this week is the first thing is that if you go back and read what we wrote in the written column on the War Eagle Reader site last week. This isn't the AP poll or the coaches poll. This is going to be much more fluid. Teams are going to go up. Everybody starts at zero. Auburn doesn't start at three, okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to reevaluate every single team in your resume every week. But I was laughing earlier because you were talking about Auburn dropping. We beat the fourth best team. So when they start over and they look at our resume, I think there's a real argument we should be ranked ahead of Florida State.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't think they're going to do it.
No.
Because I think the way they did it last week was here's the zero loss teams, here's the one loss teams, mm-hmm. here's the two loss teams. I think Auburn's going to be third again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the interesting thing to watch is going to be how far does Ole Miss drop?
Absolutely. Yes.
And
yes.
I think this is where the committee's really going to show something because I think they're going to be ahead of some two loss teams, of some one loss teams.
One loss teams, right.
I think they're probably going to be ahead of Ohio State.
Yeah. But without Treadwell, they may drop them a little lower just because they think they won't be as good going forward.
No, they're not doing that. They're not looking forward at all. They're only looking backward.
All right. So. Yeah. Well, see, my this is what my thinking has been is if it was up to the media has been like Florida State barely squeaked by Louisville. they deserve to be number one or two. Auburn went on the road and rang up the best defense in the country for 500 yards. Let's drop them down to about six this time.
Well, again, that's I'm glad the media isn't voting, but I did hear some of that. It was funny because I was so upset about stupid Florida State winning. They very much was this kind of, well, they played like, you know, they showed that kind of championship grit and that kind of stuff at the end of that game, and Auburn was lucky or whatever. So
the lucky thing makes me want to punch concrete. It really does.
Here's my thing about that. They can say it all they want to. Mm-hmm. Just bring it on. Okay, I would love to get our hands on Florida State in the playoff. I'd be delighted with that matchup. They don't want any part of Auburn. Okay, no. None.
Let's go. No huddle. Hurry up. Listener questions. What we got?
All right, I'll be quick. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, first question. We just talked about this from Ryan Starrett. Do you think Auburn will jump Florida State? Do you think Auburn should jump Florida State?
I think we should. I think we're playing better than Florida State, but I give Florida State credit for one thing. They are finding ways to win in all these games that are close. They're playing weaker teams, and they're getting down, but they're finding ways to win. And, I mean, as much as I can't stand them, you got to give them credit for that at least.
That's right.
Just beat them in the playoffs.
I'm fine with that. All right.
Roll it.
Going quickly. Sorry.
I'm rolling my fingers and punching down the ground.
Why can't we cover people? This is from War Damn Wade.
If only we knew. I don't know what's happened.
It is. I think some of it is just a physically confidence thing. All right. Auburn Elvis. Florida could advance to Atlanta with a three-way tie in the East. If that happens, does Muschamp still get fired?
Yes, he's done. He's dead man walking. He's done no matter what happens.
What if he beats Florida State?
He could. You know, after what we saw Saturday? We'll get to that in a second. Roll it. Punch the ground.
There's been lots of bashing of the defense after the last two games. Is the defense that bad, or was it some of it we just played the fourth best team in the country?
Well, I don't think they're the fourth best team in the country because of their offense.
No, but their offense isn't bad.
I don't know what's going on with our defense. Right. We just talked about it ad nauseum. Rolling.
All right. Beasts, was there regression in tackling about Ole Miss or about us?
Again, we didn't just quit learning. We didn't just forget how to play defense. Something's going on. And part of it's these big physical receivers we've been
playing. Well, I'm going to say something else about the defense. He hasn't come back yet. At this point, I really, really want Whitehead to get out of the doghouse.
Yes.
You know,
you
the
need
guy was
to
our,
get a pass out of the doghouse.
Whatever you got to do, do it because we need him.
Wash Gus's car.
I mean,
polish it up
our
nice.
Steadiest, best safety. We're really missing him right now. All right. Johnny Dent said, did Gus make a deal with the devil where he could only have either a great offense or a great defense, but not both?
That's what we were just talking about. Yeah. Apparently.
Which one would you choose?
Well, we know what you would choose. We know what I would choose. Rolling it on.
All right. Adam Murphy says, why is the narrative Ole Miss lost when Auburn rolled in and put up 500 yards against that defense?
I've addressed this. Rolling it.
All right. Fly Down the Field says, has our defense regressed this much, or is the competition just better?
Everybody's asking the same question. I don't have any answers. I wish I did. I'd be on the staff. Rolling it.
All right. Jonathan Harris says, who is our toughest opponent that's left?
It's just got to be Alabama in Tuberville Denny, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Alabama, especially after the way Georgia showed yesterday.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Ross Hatcher says, I got bored today. I looked at the standings. It's still possible for Florida to make it to the SEC championship game. How crazy is that?
I told you they're going to wish they played Idaho. I've been telling you. Roll it.
All right, that's it.
All right. Around the SEC. All right. We got to talk about Florida, Georgia.
Florida ran it all over them. I mean, Georgia had not given up a play longer than 30 yards all season.
Good
Florida
gosh.
Had two rushing plays in the 40s. I mean, if you've watched Florida play these other games,
where'd this come from?
I think some of it is they went back to basics and they didn't try and, this is the thing. They didn't get tricky. They didn't get cute. Mm-hmm. They didn't try and throw the ball when they can't. They ran the ball right at Florida.
You know what they look like?
They ran the ball right at Georgia over and over and over.
You know what they look like?
What?
LSU.
Yes. I mean, they ran off tackle 100 times with a big physical running back. The quarterback didn't throw the ball, and that was it.
At one point, somebody on Twitter said that Muschamp is trolling Georgia by putting receivers on the field.
He put receivers in the field, but it was like our receivers. They were blocking.
They were blocking. I know, but just put tight ends out there. Put more offensive linemen out there.
And it's funny because if Florida had played a more traditional kind of thing, Georgia would have beat them. But they just punched Georgia in the mouth again and again and again.
And didn't you keep thinking, all right, any second now Georgia's going to wake up and start playing, mm-hmm. and they just never did?
And I knew Florida's defense is good. It's legitimately good. The problem all along has been the offense. If the offense could do anything, they'd be fun, and the offense finally did something.
They get demoralized, and who can play? It's just like our 2012 defense was not horrible.
That's right.
But just got demoralized. 2008, too.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Florida. Georgia, again, they're not great at quarterback, and without Gurley, they couldn't do anything. So the biggest thing to me was encouraging to see them get run all over, because the Florida
exactly.
came all over. Muschamp and Lasher are going to watch that tape.
Laugh. Malzahn and Lasher, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. We had a matchup in the East of your East team versus my East team, and my East team kicked your East team's butt.
It was 20-10. Let's not call it.
They doubled them up, baby. Missouri is back in the driver's seat for Atlanta.
Whoever wins the East is a 14-point favorite over Missouri. So whoever wins the West,
yeah.
So Tennessee beat South Carolina in overtime.
I turned that game on and just left it on just because I was too lazy to change the channel. And I'm just sitting there watching it like a slow developing accident on a highway.
It was so great at the end.
Oh, God. Did you see Spurrier's press conference or hear about it?
Yes. Yes.
He's like, I ain't talking about it. Next question. Bye.
I don't blame him. That's frustrating.
Yep. My defense coordinator sucked. I'm going to be looking for a job. Anybody looking for a sorry defensive coordinator? Yep. Just go ahead and give him a call because he's going to be unemployed soon. So, yeah. Bye-bye. Boom.
And then Arkansas, had multiple chances at the, tried to win the game and blew it and lost it by Mississippi State 17-10. That was they had them.
Then you knew that was going to end that way, but you just kind of had to cling to a little bit of hope all along that maybe some fluky thing would happen, and they wouldn't find a way to pull that out. But yeah, I'm not jumping on the Arkansas bandwagon until they actually win a tackle football game against Division I opponents.
And that has not happened anytime soon.
Not happening, yeah. But
all right. Next weekend.
Whoa, you skipped one.
What did I skip? Oh, I mean, Old Dominion?
I told you that you would see that scoreline. You know what? You never saw 7-3 Old Dominion, but you know what you did see?
7-7.
7-7. I was like, there it is.
I saw that.
Close
and
enough.
I almost took a picture of it and put it on Twitter. I was like, oh, there we go. Man, it's going to be so happy.
I know. When I saw 7-7, I said, you know what? It's not 7-3, but I'll take it. It's close enough for my point. That's right. Oh, Vandy. You never disappoint, and by that I mean you pretty much always disappoint. All right, upcoming games.
All right, Georgia at Kentucky.
Yeah, you know that could be interesting now if they can get back off the mat. Either one of them, they both the loser bowl right now.
I mean, it's at Kentucky, and they'll play better at home. But after two tough weeks in a row, I'm not sure they could get back up for this. So
Mark Richt, I just don't know.
Florida at Vanderbilt.
Hey, Vandy, Florida gets another win and moves forward. All right, I'm sizing them up.
Bama at LSU.
You know what? We're gonna go ahead and lock up Alabama lock of the week at LSU.
My cold dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Did you sense a little strategery?
This is you putting the reverse jinx in Alabama?
The reverse jinx.
Lock of the week is so bad.
Locking up Bama at LSU.
All right. Here's the thing with the Mississippi State we talked about earlier. They play at Alabama next week, I think.
That's going to be a game.
It is. But here's the thing. It's one of the, they play at Ole Miss at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So the scenarios for Auburn, I think, are either Mississippi State lose at Bama, lose at Ole Miss, mm-hmm. Auburn win the division, mm-hmm. win the SEC, or Mississippi State win both,
win
the SEC. Auburn keeps on going, beats Alabama, beats Georgia, and
ride the coattails,
and ends up in the playoff anyway.
Yeah,
as a wild card team.
Yeah,
I think there's Auburn is going to make it with this schedule if they only have one loss,
one way or another.
Right. I think, you know, the interesting thing is going to be if Auburn, if Mississippi State loses two games and Auburn wins the division, will a second SEC team make it or not? And I'm starting to think no.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so it's one of those things like, who do you cheer for when Mississippi State plays Alabama? Because in the reality, the way it works is either way will be okay, I think.
Yeah, so I'll just cheer for Mississippi State.
That's right.
It's not like I'm going to – look, I have rooting during a game, and then I have the larger picture before and after.
Yeah.
But during the game, I refuse to tamp down my happiness and my rooting interests over strategery.
Yeah. No, so, I just assume that Mississippi State beat them 50-0.
I mean, I know I was supposed to be cheering for Georgia over Florida, and after the game was over, I allowed myself the luxury of feeling bad that Georgia had lost in terms of how it related to Auburn. But during the game, I was like, go Gators!
I don't feel bad about it at all.
No, that's right. All right, we're bringing this sucker in for a fiery landing here. I got to tell folks, if you're interested in the Marvel superhero movies, this week on our sister show, the White Rocket Podcast, I am joined by Jim Yelton of Midnight Entertainment, a semi-regular guest, to thoroughly discuss the 9 new movies announced by Marvel that will come out in the next about 2 or 3 a year between now and 2019. I'm planning on staying alive for a few more years as best I can to see all these. So just search on iTunes for the White Rocket Podcast or visit whiterocketbooks.com. You can also go to our Podbean site. And you can listen to about an hour and 20-minute long discussion where we sort of delve into all 9 of those movies and really just talk about what we can expect and where we think it's all going. So if you like that kind of stuff, I think you'll get a kick out of it and enjoy the conversation that we had. Also, John, I just put in my guest application for the 2015 Dragon Con convention. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they respond favorably and I get invited for my 8th straight year as a guest. And I'm trying to figure out how to break it to them that I will be unavailable for about 3 hours on that Saturday.
Louisville game.
I will be right down the street in the dome or wherever they're going to play it. I guess they'll still have the dome then. They're building that.
Awesome.
Building that new stadium. So, yeah. All right. Check out Decades of Dominance and Season of Our Dreams. I think that's pretty much it. Are we good to go?
We're good, man.
We brought this sucker in on time and on budget, pretty much. Our time. Yep.
I just want to say Auburn, Texas A&M, the line opened at like 13 or whatever.
Yep.
It's already up to 21 with so many people betting on Auburn. So
I just thought you should
know that.
Absolutely. All right. Our time is up, folks. We appreciate it. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.